Welcome to the New Author Podcast with your host, Jerry Evanoff. Jerry will take you through everything he's doing as he writes, publishes, and markets his first book. He'll tell you about his mistakes, his successes, and everything in between. Here's your host, Jerry Evanoff.
Welcome to the New Author Podcast. I am your host, Jerry Evanoff. Today is Sunday, February 4th, 2019. It's about 3 p.m. Eastern time. This is my episode number 15, and it's Super Bowl Sunday, everyone. I remember last year on Super Bowl Sunday, I was sitting in a small room at the, and I hope I get this right, the Runnymede on, is it Thames Hotel? And I was sitting in a little conference room, and I was listening to other authors stand up and talk at the 20 Books Conference and kind of give indie writers a marketing advice and sales advice and writing advice. And it's actually possible at this very time last year that I was sitting there laughing because Barry Hutchinson was doing his presentation on, I believe it was bootstrapping your release or bootstrapping your novel, bootstrapping your first novel, something like that. And I found it on YouTube. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. It is hilarious. I'm going to go back and watch it again as soon as I'm done recording this podcast because I haven't seen it in about a year or a year. And I want to watch it again because, like I said, this guy is funny. It was great. I remember that same day I stayed up until 3:30 in the morning at our hotel room and I was watching the Super Bowl, you know, with my squares in front of me and all the betting stuff I did. And I was starting to wonder, like, do you guys over there do you guys care about the Super Bowl? Like, do you watch it? If you do you stay up until the middle of the night watching it, especially if you have to work the next morning? Is that like a thing over there? It's strange to me. Time zones are so strange to me. Anyway, the next 4 days last year after this Sunday, I remember just basically tooling around London with my sister. We went to like every tourist trap there was. We would leave the hotel at like 9:30 in the morning and wouldn't get back until, you know, some nights we wouldn't get back until 10, 11, because we went to all the touristy places and then we went to a show. I remember I saw four shows while I was over there. I saw Mousetrap. I love Agatha Christie. We saw Young Frankenstein. We saw the play that goes wrong or something like that, which was hilarious. And then we saw the Book of Mormon, which was even funnier. That could be one of the funniest things I've ever seen. The best play I've ever seen live was Hamilton. I saw it back in August here in Ohio. But the Book of Mormon was so, so funny. So I recommend that too. I remember it even snowed one day. I mean, it was like in the 20s there, Fahrenheit, I guess, while we were there, you know, walking around, but we didn't care. We walked around the city all bundled up, going to everything we could go to. We went to the zoo on, I believe it was a Tuesday. And I remember at one point while we were looking at zebras, it started snowing. And I thought, well, I thought I'd never be at a zoo while it's snowing, but we were there. It was a great time. I'm looking forward to going back someday. All right. I've rambled on long enough. Let's get to my stats. I'm currently working through the editing of book one. As you all know, first draft of books two and three, I wrote them in 2017, and I'm working on book four in terms of the plot. I'm not doing anything. I'm just really thinking about it, jotting down notes occasionally if I think of something. At some point in the next couple months, I'm going to put a plot together, and I'm going to record it while I drive home from work every day. Let's see. Book one currently sits at 98,367 words, which means I've added 1,093 words since last week. It actually also went from 50 chapters to 52 chapters, which is scary because that means more words. I remember I mentioned last week that I split chapter 26 into two, and I plugged a chapter in between it. So 26 became 26 and 28, and I plugged another chapter in 27 because there's a really good cliffhanger at the end of 26, and I really wanted to keep the reader wanting to know what happened, but I wanted them to continue reading. So I added that little chapter in there. I also today added another chapter. I added a chapter 32 in there and pushed everything back by one. I'll get into that in a little while because that's a little hairy. It's going a little goofy right now with how that works. In terms of my weight, I'm gonna ramble about this for a second. I believe I was 203.5 9 days ago. It was a Friday morning was the last time I weighed in. And as of today, Sunday morning, I was 199.8. So that's down, 3.7 pounds, which is pretty good. I'm really happy about that. But I've noticed a pattern in the way that I'm losing weight. And it's something I didn't expect. I weigh myself every single day, which I probably shouldn't do, just because it can get frustrating if you go down and then you go down and you keep doing the same thing. And then the next day you're up, and that can get a little frustrating. You start to question yourself. What am I doing wrong? And, but I kind of noticed something. The 2 weeks in a row now, I've given myself a cheat meal on Friday afternoon for lunch. I'm not doing a whole cheat day. I actually think a cheat day is kind of counteracts what you did all week, but just one meal, as long as you don't go overboard. I mean, for me, the cheat meal is just what I used to eat. I'm not like loading up on pizza and hamburgers and French fries and ice cream and milkshakes and all that stuff all in one meal. I'm just going back to what I ate, you know, back before I was dieting. And so what happens is, Monday and Tuesday, and maybe Wednesday, I do pretty good. I lose a pound or two here and there, maybe a half a pound, whatever it is. Thursday and Friday morning when I weigh in, I either level off or I even go up a little bit, and I haven't changed anything. And that was getting frustrating. So two Fridays ago, I gave myself a cheat meal, which was that lunch. And then when I got home that night, I ate a salad for dinner. And when I woke up Saturday morning, I put a battery in my home scale and I stepped on it. I lost 2 pounds. From Friday morning to Saturday morning with the cheat meal. And I was really confused. So I did the same thing this week. And even this week, I started this whole 9-minute exercise routine in the morning. I started getting up 15 minutes earlier, which is now 4:45 a.m. I'm getting up and I'm doing this 9-minute workout that's offered by this 8Fit app on my phone. They give you videos to show you how to do the exercises. They give you a cool down and a warm up period. They time it. They allow you to choose different types of music to listen to. It's really cool. I really like it, but it's really hard. Like, there was some planking in there and there were some leg lifts in there. It's things that I don't do. And again, I'm not in the best of shape yet. I'm trying to get there, but I'm not there yet. And after 2 days, I was so sore, and it really affected my bowling scores, which I'll get to in a minute. But it happened again this week where, you know, I was pretty good for the first couple of days. I leveled off on Thursday. I actually went up a little bit on Thursday. That was frustrating. And then I had the cheat meal on Friday afternoon. The same thing. I love this quesadilla. And they put bacon bits on it. And I love bacon. So if you're going to give me a quesadilla, which I love anyway, and then you're going to put bacon on it, you're really making me happy. And when I woke up Saturday morning, yesterday morning, and weighed myself, I was 199.6. I mean, I lost like 2 pounds from Friday to Saturday. I don't understand it. The only thing that I can come up with is, and this is based on the fact that I've watched some YouTube videos and I'm just speculating based on what they say, that this is happening to me too. The only thing that I can come up with is my metabolism is good Monday, Tuesday. It starts to slow down because the food I'm eating is now, you know, healthier. I'm not eating as much sugar. I'm not eating as many calories. So my metabolism kind of slows down a little bit. Friday afternoon lunch, I have the quesadilla. I give it a big kick in the butt. And then it really, really works hard Friday night into Saturday and even over the weekend. And then I start over again. And honestly, that's the only thing I can come up with. So I'm going to keep doing that because it seems to be working. And plus, it allows me to keep eating that quesadilla. And we'll see what happens. I will say, though, today I am going to go off my diet, because it's the Super Bowl and I really would like some buffalo wings. And I know buffalo wings are some of the worst things that you could actually eat, but I don't care. It's one day. I'm way ahead of my schedule. My schedule was 24 weeks, which takes me to June 30th, lose 29 pounds. I've lost 7 as of now, approximately 7, I guess. No, wait, 7.2 as of now. So if you multiply that out, you know, that's a lot more than 29 pounds. So I'm going to go off it today. No big deal. And we'll see what happens. Speaking of being super, super sore, like I said, I bowled this week and my first game was a 155, mostly because I couldn't bend over. I was in so much pain and I had to kind of use that first game to teach myself how to throw the second and third game. My second, third games were better. I went 189, 190, and I have a 189 average. So just to get to my average, I had to use a whole game to figure out how to throw the ball without bowling over. Or without bending over. So it was quite the interesting Tuesday and Tuesday night.
Last week's recap.
Last week was a pretty normal week for me. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. I did my normal work day. I worked until 4:30. I took the 90-minute lunch. and wrote each time. Thursday, I did the yoga, which, by the way, I was so looking forward to after being so sore earlier in the week. And for those of you who don't do yoga or may have negative feelings about yoga, I am the most anti, how do I say this right? I'm the most anti, like, you know, breathe through your eyes and all the stuff that my yoga teacher says. There are a lot of times that I just kind of cringe, but the lights are off so she can't see it. But the actual stretches themselves and the things that she says in terms of, you know, how to stretch your body, I really like it. Stretching my legs and my shoulders and my neck. I actually had back issues before I started the yoga where I would get up in the morning and my lower back would be just killing me. I remember I tweeted one time a bunch of months ago or even maybe a year ago how when I get to work, again, I have that 65-minute drive. When I get to work, I have to get out of my car and take like 4 or 5 steps where I'm a little bit hunched over before I finally can straighten up and start walking. I felt like Kaiser Soze. And ever since I started that yoga, she's kind of taught some lower back stuff that I've done. I talked to her about it one day and she asked me how I slept. And I told her and she said, you may want to change that. And I kind of taught myself to sleep on my back, which I never do. And she also said, you can put something behind your car seat because of the long drive. And it turns out my car actually has the little thing where you can move the little, I don't know what it is, block of steel or whatever it is inside the cushion. You can move it up and down your back. So I found a good spot where it kind of sits right behind my lower back and it pushes my stomach out. And ever since then, like, I have very little lower back issues now. It's never sore. It's fantastic. So, you know, I like the yoga. I'm not telling people they have to go do it, but if it's something that you've thought about, you know, look it up on YouTube. Maybe you can come up with a couple things. I tried to a long time ago, but I realized I needed somebody to kind of teach it to me. And when the yoga class became available at work, I had my coworker. She kind of said, "Hey, you got to come and do this." So after a few weeks of telling me that I had to come and do it, I actually came. I went and did it, and I love it. It's great. So I'm really that's like one of the few things that I'll not write at lunch to do. In fact, that might be the only thing where, you know, I want to write every day, but I will happily skip it on that Thursday to do that yoga. And then the weekend hit, and the weekend has been a bit of a struggle for me. Yesterday morning, I went like I normally do, and I finished up a chapter. I think it was chapter 31, and that's when I realized I wanted to add this chapter 32 in. And as I started taking notes for it, it became apparent that I had a bit of a snag. I don't want to say I wrote myself into a corner because I didn't do that. I just had a plot line that I wanted to continue. And I realized that the way that I had written some previous chapters, it was going to make what I wanted to do in 32 impossible. It wasn't going to make any sense to the reader. It didn't make any sense to me. And I thought, well, there's got to be a way out of it because I want to keep what I've done so far. I really like the storyline that I've created. And so today I went out to Barnes & Noble and I just kind of opened up a Word doc and I just started writing things. How do I make this work? And after a while I thought, I'm not there yet. I need to keep thinking about this. And I left. And I'm going to keep thinking about it tomorrow until I get it.
Things I learned.
And that leads me to writer's block. Now keep in mind that everything I'm going to say in this podcast about writer's block pertains to me and me only. I don't actually believe in writer's block. I think if you hear me say it, I think it's more about an excuse that I use when I don't want to write. Or let's say I hit a snag like I did this morning and I will say, I have some writer's block. Well, no, I don't really have writer's block. I just haven't figured out how to continue the story. So this happened to me in 2017 while I was writing the first draft of this book. And I had a couple of characters in some chapters I'm actually coming up to where I wanted this big revelation to come up, but I had no idea how to get him there. And I figured I would just make it a short story or a novella, something like that. And I remember I was on vacation. I took a vacation so I could write. It was over my birthday in June, 2017. And I went to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I used to go there as a kid with my family and it was awesome. And I hadn't been there since like 1992, maybe 1994. And I wanted to go back. since it was over Father's Day, I flew my dad down and the two of us just hung out in Myrtle Beach. My dad loves the beach. So the two of us just hung out for a week. Actually, it was like 5 days. Went to the beach every day. I took like my laptop with me. I would go back to the room sometimes for a couple hours with my laptop when he wasn't there so I could do some writing, sit on the balcony. It was amazing. It was great. But I had this issue then, just like I have now, where I have this side story, this subplot that I want to work out because I think it's going to make a great short story or novella, but I need to make sure that book one, I need to make sure that that it fits the book one plot that I'm writing. And while I'm still working on book one, if I need to make any changes right now, I can do that. The problem is that I've got this character and he's in 2017, he's a good guy. And in 2022, he's evil. And I need to make it so that I have a story that gets him from good to evil, but it's not going to be in the novel. It's going to be a sub story, a novella. Actually, it's going to be a short story. It's probably going to be the second short story I release. And the issue is that I don't know how to get him there yet. I have an idea of what I want to do, but everything that I've written so far, it doesn't make sense in the story. There's these questions that somebody's going to say, well, how did that happen? Well, how did he get there? And I don't want those questions to come up. So I need to figure this out. And some people might call that writer's block. And again, if that's what you guys are calling it, that's fine. For me, that doesn't work. For me, that's just an excuse. What I need to do, the way for me to get around writer's block is to just write. You know, I'm a computer programmer for a living. It's what I do in my real-time job. And if I have a screen that I need to add to a website with this functionality, I don't sit and map the whole thing out. It's weird. I'm a pantser when it comes to computer programming, but I'm a plotter when it comes to writing books. I don't map out this page. I just start writing. I know in my mind what it's going to look like. So I just start writing code. I write code. I develop the screen. And as I'm developing the screen, I'm making changes as needed. I just can't see the whole thing all at once. And with this writer's block that I'm having, I need to sit down and open a Word doc like I did this morning. And I need to just start writing sentences. And most of them are going to get thrown away. They're not going to make sense. It's almost like that. What do they say? You know, the whole writing things down. I forget what the term is for it. When you just start plotting and you're just writing down every single thing that you can think of. And most of them, it doesn't matter how ridiculous they are, most of them are going to get thrown out. But when I do that, what it does is it helps me get to where I need to get to. Eventually, I'll write a sentence and I'll go, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. And I might just keep that one. And then I'll start thinking about that sentence and how it fits into my book. Okay, I can do this. I can do that. Okay, I can do this and that. And that's how I got around the writer's block issue I had back in 2017. And that's how I'm going to get around this one too. This one is a little different, this one's a little tricky because I have a story that I want to write, a short story that I want to write, and somehow I have to make this thing fit. And as of right now, I have no idea. I can't even see that it's gonna fit without making major changes, and I don't want to do that. When I say I don't want to do that, it's not because I want to put extra time in to make the book right. I'm definitely not being lazy there. I just like the story that I wrote and I don't want to change it. So what I want to do is I want to make this short story fit into my novel. So that's where I am with this whole writer's block thing. I know that I have it. At least I have my definition of it, which means I just haven't figured it out yet, but I'll figure it out. I know I will. I love this story. I love my characters and I will make this work. So that's where I am with writer's block. I want to talk about my book launch again, and I swear to you guys, this is the last time for a while that I'm going to talk to you about my book launch until I'm ready to getting closer to launching the book, because I just keep changing my mind. It goes back to the whole KU versus wide. Every week I just change my mind. So I was listening to an interview with Tammy Lebreck. She was on Joanna Penn's podcast last week. I was listening to it Monday on my way to work, and she started talking about, she does all the newsletter stuff. I'm going to buy her newsletter Ninja book at some point soon. And I know one of the questions came up about building a newsletter. And if I remember correctly, she made it sound like the best way to build your newsletter is put book one out there. And I started thinking about that, thinking that kind of makes sense because nobody knows who I am. So I'm trying to figure out why anybody's going to read these short stories I want to put out. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a little change, actually a big change on how I'm going to do this book release. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put book one out there just as I'm finishing up book two. So we're talking 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now. I'm not waiting until next year. Part of this is because I want to get something out there. But a lot of this is because it just makes sense to me to put book one out there. I don't really think I'm going to do this big launch where I'm promoting it everywhere. I'm going to promote it, no doubt in my mind. I'm going to get on as many lists as I can. And I might even do some Amazon ads. I don't know yet. But I'm not going to treat this like this huge book launch where I need to get into the top 20 or make a bestseller list or whatever on that first day or second day. I almost think I'm putting book one out there as the reader magnet, if that makes sense. Because what I want to do then is I want to put those short stories out there a few months later, short story one and short story two. I know what both of them are going to be about. Actually, short story one is going to be like the origin story of my main character. And I don't know if I like the idea of putting that out before book one, because book one opens up with him 6 months after he discovered time travel. We've already established his new life back in the 1870s. We're establishing that he's got a crush on the girl. And, you know, in chapter five, they're already going to go out on their first date. And I don't think I want to put book one out there I don't want to put the short story out there because the short story establishes all those things. It shows him discovering time travel and it shows him meeting the girl and what happens during that time. And I feel like that would almost be a spoiler, which is weird because I'm putting it out there out of order. But I think the short story is like a spoiler. So I want to get it out there after book one comes out. And I want to use the short stories as a way to get my name out there again. So maybe people will go back and buy book one. And then I also want to use it to advertise that, hey, book two is going to be out soon. So this goes back to what I said last week, which was anytime something new is getting close to coming out, I want to put something else out there that's new and I want to have the next novel on pre-order. So for example, book one comes out, people read it, people don't read it, whatever. If they don't, it's no big deal. But then the two short stories come out. And when the short stories come out, book two is on pre-order. The information for the mailing list is already there. And if they read the short stories and they join the mailing list, great. If they buy book one and they join the mailing list, great. I'm happy about all that stuff. Book two comes out. I can then go ahead and advertise book one again. I can advertise the short stories again. And I can start working on editing book three. I can get a couple short stories out between two and three. And I do it over again. The short stories come out between two and three. I advertise book one. Book three comes out. I advertise book one. It's basically trying to get as many people as I can to read book one as all the other stuff comes out, because I want them to read the whole series in order. And the other thing that I was thinking about was the pricing. And it's very similar to what I talked about last week, where every time something new comes out, I'm going to drop book one's price to 99 cents. So book one comes out, it's 99 cents for, let's say, a week. It's on sale. It goes to $3.99. Then the two short stories come out. Book one goes down to 99 cents for, let's say, a week. Then book two comes out. Book one goes down to 99 cents for, let's say, a week. And on. And I think at some point I'll just keep book one at 99 cents. I don't know. I think it looks a lot better in an ad if I say something like, hey, for this limited time, get book one at 99 cents. So if book two comes out and people see the ad, they can go back and just jump on book one for 99 cents and then maybe they read through. I don't know. So that's kind of where I am as of right now. It's completely different from what I've been saying. It's not a rapid release. I'm kind of off that train right now. Who knows what's going to change between now and then, but I promise you guys, I will keep updating my jerryevanoff.com/release page with what I'm going to do. And I'm going to put numbers on there. I'm going to talk about them on this podcast. Don't get me wrong. I am going to talk about everything that I pay, all the money that come in, all the downloads I get. I'm definitely going to be honest with you guys about all that, because I know that the rapid release is hot right now, but I think I'm going to do it a little bit different because it's my first series. This series is going to be 7 books. And when the 7 books are over, I already have a short story planned that gets people from book 7 to book 1 of the next series. I have a character who is going to move on into the next series and be a main character in that series. I already know how I'm going to do it. I've already got his whole world all laid out and ready to go. I'm really excited about that, by the way, because I didn't expect to do that. I never even thought people did that. I never read series like that. And it is kind of cool to just keep reading this stuff in the same world. I'll give you an example. One of my favorite books of all time is called Lost Stars. It is a Star Wars book, but it is not your typical, you know, Jedis and bad guys and that kind of thing type book. It's almost like a Hallmark movie set in the Star Wars universe. And it is really, really, really good. And there are these side characters in there that I want to know what happened. There's one character in there who defects from the bad guys to the good guys. And we hear a quick, like, brief two sentences on what happened. And I would love to hear her story. I would love to just read a three-part series about a trilogy about her story. So I'm going to try to do the same thing with my... by the way, you guys should go read Lost Stars. I don't care if you're a Star Wars fan or not. If you've seen the original trilogy, you're going to know enough you need to know to enjoy this book. And if you like Hallmark movies, and I love them, although it doesn't have a Hallmark type ending, which I'm glad, you're really going to like this book. So anyway, I kind of want to do that. I have this character, and I'm not going to spoil anything, even though I don't know if any people ever read anything I wrote. I'm not going to spoil anything. But I have this character who plays a major role in all these different characters' lives in the first three books. I don't know if he's going to end up in books 4 through 7 or not, but he is going to end up in short story prequel number 1 of the new series and then play a major part in the new series. So that's kind of where I am right now with my release schedule. And, you know, again, I know I keep harping on this and changing my mind, but I just think about it all the time. I mean, like I said last week, I listen to these podcasts that are all about marketing and releasing books. You know, the only podcast I listen to that is about actual writing is a Story Grid, and I love that podcast. But other than that, everything I listen to is about releasing books. There's no real writing into them. So I'm still working on the writing side, and I'm talking about my release strategy, I guess. I don't know.
This week's plan.
I'm really terrible at ending segments. I think I'm just looking for, how do I end that sentence so that I can play the next sound clip? That's really all I'm going for. I'm not really the most polished podcaster in the world. I'm sure you guys have figured that out already, but you know, I'm new at all this. I'm new at being an author, and I'm kind of new to podcasting. Not really. I did 40 some episodes about the TV show Big Brother back in 2008 and 9 and even 10. But in terms of just talking about me, which to me is the most interesting subject in the world, I'm still a little bit rusty at how to end sentences and get on to the next thing. So anyway, let me talk about this week's schedule. It's another normal work week. Monday through Friday, I'm working. I'm writing at lunch Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. I am working from home on Tuesday. I am doing yoga on Thursday. I have a dentist appointment on Tuesday, which is part of the reason I'm working from home, but I'm also bowling that night, which is the other half of the reason. My dentist appointment is at 1 o'clock on Tuesday Eastern time. I don't know why I told you that, but that's when it is. Saturday, I hope to write in the morning like I always do, and then write a little bit into the afternoon like I always do. And then Sunday morning, I hope to continue. Although I've started to notice that Sundays are becoming other things about a writing career day for me other than just writing, like doing this podcast on Sundays. I also am going to start looking into a lot of the video content I have, like I have the 101 course and the Ads for Authors course from Mark Dawson. I also have Brian Meeks's course on advertising, some of the Udemy videos I bought. I'm going to start looking into those and maybe taking some notes, because if I stick to this release schedule that I talked about a little while ago, I'm going to start needing to know this stuff a lot quicker than I thought originally. If I'm looking at releasing a book July 1st or August 1st or September 1st, whenever, that's not beginning of next year like I had originally thought. So I'm going to start studying and taking some notes. So I think Sunday is going to become a writing in the morning day, and then, I don't know, marketing, release, learning, podcasting, all that other stuff that we have to do as an indie author, I'm going to do throughout the day. Especially with football season ending today, I won't have Sunday football to watch again until the end of July. Although, to be honest, there is a new football league starting next week called the AAFL or the AAL. Maybe that's it. I don't know what it is. Something like that. Where a lot of these players that didn't make the NFL, they created their own league. It's 10 weeks. There's games on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. I wasn't usually a fan of any of the other leagues, although I will be honest, I was getting into the European League. before just the season that it ended was the season I really started getting into it. And it's really just because I like football. If there's names of players I like, I don't have a favorite team, but if there's names of players that I like, I'll probably throw it on. I don't usually record live sports because I don't do really well about keeping away from the final scores. And once I knew the final score, I don't care about watching it. So I might throw it on at noon on Saturday if I'm home, or if I'm home on Sunday. But it's definitely not going to take precedence over my writing. My writing is the most important thing right now to me. And other than work, sleep, and apparently Thursday yoga. And so I'm going to continue doing that. But you know, you may hear me talking about this new football league at some point in the next couple months because I'm enjoying it. And don't worry, this isn't going to become a sports podcast. It's always going to be about writing. It's always really going to be about me. 75% of it's going to be writing, and I'm going to talk to you about other things going on in my life. I hope that I'm appealing to either, you know, authors out there who are new, who are wondering what it's like, or here, maybe they're hearing what someone else is going through as they're becoming a new author, which is kind of why I'm throwing myself, more than just my writing, but myself into it. I hope you can relate to me. If you have any stories you want to tell me, you know, email me, tweet me, whatever, and I'll talk about it. I think that's the end of the podcast for this week. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, you can email me, jerry@jerryevanoff.com. My website is jerryevanoff.com. My the release page again is jerryevanoff.com/release. There is no link from the main page to that page. It's just for people who listen to the podcast. You can also find me on Twitter, JerryE25, or you can search my name, Jerry Evanoff. And if you want, you can go over to iTunes and you can give me a review. I'll be honest with you, I have not looked at any reviews yet. I don't know if I have any over there. I don't even really know how to get to it. I just know that everybody says it at the end of their podcast, so I'm saying it too. Yeah, that's it. Okay, see y'all next week. See, I had a hard time ending it again. I hate that.
Thanks for listening to the New Author Podcast. Check back next week for another episode. And for more information, check out Jerry's website at www.jerryevanoff.com.